Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 157 for Friday, October 25th, 2013. Welcome to the show. If somehow you do not know who we all are, we shall introduce ourselves thusly. I'm Phil Dickinson. I run this joint, or they let me run this joint. They tell me I'm running this joint. I think these guys actually run the joint, that guy and that guy. Alex Doby in England.
Hey, everyone.
Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
How's it going?
And on the East Coast, we brought in a special guest, Russell Holly, an old friend of the site, and you guys know him. Everybody knows Russell.
Yay!
So, what's happening, guys? It's been a whole nother week, and we still don't have a Nexus. It's Nexus Watch 2013, day 360.
We should say that's Nexus Watch, not one. Nexus Watch.
Yes, yes, not a Nexus Watch.
Or Nexus Watch.
I thought about that. I was like, ooh, somebody's going to think we're... No, there's no Nexus Watch yet. We still don't have announcements. We still don't have releases. I still don't know when they're coming. We were all chatting earlier. I think I've got an idea what's going to happen, though. I think, and this is mostly, I think, gut feeling, a tiny little bit of insider. I think we're going to get an announcement, probably no event. We're going to get an announcement, and it will be available like the next day at Best Buy. Or maybe 2 days later.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I agree. I think the retail launch is going to be the best part of the actual... That's going to be the big splash instead of the event. I still think it's... I wouldn't be surprised if we did get an event. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff there that would be best served by having one. But at the same time, if Google can put out a press release and say, okay, go buy it tomorrow, then that's going to have just as big an impact, I think.
Russell, what do you think? Because I know you and we'll talk some more about some Best Buy stuff you got recently, I think. What do you think's going on with all this at this point? And actually, we do need to mention there was no October 24 event. This was all Russell's fault. We're blaming
him. It was entirely me. I'll take that one right off the chin.
No, so you were actually there last night at this.
No, I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go?
Yeah, out of sheer embarrassment, I stayed home. I was genuinely afraid that the lovely Google PR people who were so nice to me after I messed up would have chased me out with weapons or something. So I stayed home.
I don't blame you. Okay. So yeah, so no real event. You got any thoughts at all as to what we're gonna finally get and see? And
everything that seems to be pointing towards the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 10 and not a ton, or Nexus 5 and Nexus 10 and not a ton else, you know, aside from obviously Android 4.4. And I think that, you know, if they stick to that, then Alex is probably right, and that there doesn't really need to be a press event, but it wouldn't be beneficial in either direction. Like, it could go either way. But if they do, if there's more stuff being planned, then I think they almost kind of have to.
Mm.
The only reason why I'm leaning towards some kind of event is because they did it for the Nexus 7, Chromecast, and 4.3, and as a group, even those three announcements are still quite a bit smaller than 4.4.
You have to go back a long way before there was a major revision of Android without an event. I think it was Gingerbread that was kind of, it was announced on stage, but there was no dedicated event. I don't know. I kind of agree with what Russell was saying. If we get a watch, then they kind of need to do an event, because that's a big change to Android and a big new product that they need to show in more than just a press release and maybe a promotional video.
Yeah.
If not, then yeah, they could totally do it just with the press release, with some KitKat promotional stuff, and say, okay, here's your new phone, here's your new tablet, and the watch maybe arrives sometime next year.
I want to dive into the Q&A questions already. If you haven't seen these, they're actually looking really good in a Hangouts. They've come a long way. So our pal Steve Smith from Roots Wiki says, do you think having a physical presence in Best Buy will boost Google's hardware to the same level Samsung is since they are currently setting up centers in Best Buy locations? I think I went to Best Buy the other day. I normally hate going to these stores, but I think they're really coming a long way. And I mentioned something a couple weeks ago. Microsoft is probably the largest section, maybe about the same size as Samsung in my Best Buy here. Google's got the end caps, and honestly, Apple, which is always, you know, it's had its little section for a while, it looks shabby. It's right next to Microsoft in mine, and it looks shabby. The whites aren't as bright. I don't know if just the logos and the lighting is just old, or what's going on. But Microsoft looks great there. Samsung's presenting it really well. I haven't seen our Google stuff, I don't think, or maybe I just wasn't paying attention. But yeah, I mean, it's really transforming that store in from like an off-brand warehouse into this name brand stuff. And it's good for Best Buy. I think it's probably going to be pretty good for consumers, right?
I would definitely say so. Although it's kind of funny. I know two different people who are working as Google ambassadors in the Best Buy stores, and the actual Best Buy employees kind of shun them because they're like vendors. So they get treated kind of poorly. But yeah, so the one in my store locally has been here for a little while. And the guy that's the same guy that I always talk to, I think that there might be two for my store, but it's the one that I always bump into. He's, you know, a really friendly guy, and he knows his stuff. I mean, they trained him pretty well. I think he said that they did like a week-long training in Miami where they just kind of drilled in everything about Chrome OS and Chromecast and the Nexus devices. So it was kind of cool.
I don't know if it can, you know, overnight just bring them up to Samsung level in terms of retail presence. You know, Samsung has presence everywhere in all kinds of different forms, but you got to believe that it can't hurt them in any way to have some kind of a dedicated Google presence outside of, you know, a guy wandering around in the laptop section with a couple of Chromebooks. I mean, having a dedicated table with all that is a huge step up from just Google Play.
We were talking about this before in terms of the Nexus launch. You couldn't really get it. You couldn't really screw it up much more than they did last year with the availability issues they had for the 4 and to a lesser extent the 10. So any improvement on that is welcome, I think. The step up to a physical store presence is just a natural one for them, building on what they've had before with Chromebooks.
Can you imagine having a guy standing in the store if they can't keep the store stocked? Like being that guy that everyone walks up to and goes, I want my Nexus 5. And he just goes, well, so do I.
Well, it's like going to a carrier store for any other phone, basically.
Right.
Look at what they did with the Nexus 7, though. I mean, the Nexus 7 hasn't had as many hiccups after, you know, the initial launch of the first version. But, you know, they're in Staples and Walmarts and Best Buys and everything. And, you know, maybe not in a dedicated section, but they don't seem to have as many problems keeping those in stock. And they're, by any account, selling a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what it looks like this time next year, I think. It's because it'll take a little while, but it's definitely a step in the right direction by far. Hey, let's do another question. Is Phil getting a little more gray upstairs? Asked Daryl. Yes. And it's your fault. Every last one of you out there, especially these guys down here. That's why. Yes. Thanks for asking. Yeah. So
do you want to take that the one by Gad? Because you and I were both in the exact same room for that. I've wanted to answer that question for a while.
Where is the Moto X Google Play Edition? There is none yet. So Russell and I were in the same briefing. God, when was that? August.
Yeah.
In New York City, and I don't want to call it the publication, but like I think one story said yes. They said there's going to be a Google Play edition where the rest of us, and not just me and Russell, but other people I've asked, heard we're probably going to try to sell it in Google Play. That's different than Google Play edition.
So why aren't they trying to sell it through Google Play?
Probably because they need to wait for the AT&T exclusivity to wear out. Maybe, that's just my guess.
No, so that's an old one. I'd forgotten about that. Isaiah asks, do you think the lack of a Nexus event last year impacted Google's thoughts on doing one this year? The info dump on The Verge last year was much better than this year's Nexus 7 event. Yeah, I mean, that was, and I've heard varying things about that. I think if you're going to do an event, you do it for the event's sake, and you don't worry about last year. And I'm not sure the exclusivity on the Nexus 4 and all that stuff last year worked out quite the way it was supposed to. Let me put it that way. I think if they're going to do an event, they're going to do an event for these products and for no other reason than these products. Right?
Yeah, I would say so.
I don't think they're as superstitious about, you know, keeping events coordinated year over year or anything like that. When they have something to say and they think it's worth it, they do an event.
Yeah.
Well, also, I mean, there was a gigantic storm. I mean, we can't compare. Yep. It's definitely not the same environment.
No.
New Jersey is not underwater right now, so.
yeah, never mind screwing up people's houses and, you know, phones. Come on. What else did we want to talk about? Should we talk about BBM? We got to talk about BBM for a minute.
Let's do BBM.
BlackBerry freaking Messenger. It's finally here. It's available. You can get it. And a lot of people have, actually. It's been downloaded more than 5 million times since, when was it available? Tuesday? Was it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday.
Yeah. You know, it hit 1 million downloads on day one, 5 million after 48 hours, basically. That's a big deal, guys. I mean, raise your hand if you're actually using BBM. There were like 5 guys at home listening to this next week. They're like, I use BBM. No, and I think it's important to remember that just because we aren't using it doesn't mean that a lot of people aren't either. I mean, 5 million people downloaded this, guys, on Android, right? 10 million total on Android and iOS in the first day. I mean, somebody's using this, right?
There's definitely people using it. The only reason I'm not using it is because it doesn't support multiple devices.
The app itself is pretty crappy. Yeah, and that's my main complaint to it. You can't use it on multiple devices. I think I likened it to, you know, just, I don't want to say BlackBerry's behind the times. It's just that the way we communicate has changed so much since BBM was like the best way to do it, right?
Mm-hmm. And you've got to wonder how much of that single device focus is, it goes back into the legacy of BBM and how all the infrastructure behind it actually works. Maybe that's something that's built into the way it works and built into how it is so sort of instantaneous.
You know, don't tell me it's security. Don't tell me it's... I was listening to the Crackberry podcast a couple hours ago, and I get all that, but things have changed, guys. It's time to let...
Yeah.
I don't get this one device, one pin, one whatever. I need to be able to talk to people on whatever device I'm in. And, you know, most people don't have 6 phones laying around, but a lot of people now have a phone and a tablet or a phone and a computer. And a desktop client is coming, but it's not here yet. So that's just, you know, one more barrier to me actually using this. Jerry is reminding me that 10 million out of 1.9 billion total Android and iOS devices. So yeah, keep that in context. However, you know.
And I mean, compared to other popular messengers, I mean, something like WeChat has 300 million users. 300 million. And we're talking about 10 million. I mean, 10 million downloads. That's amazing. 1, 2, 3 days. Lots of apps would love to have that kind of traction. But there's other services that are 30x that right now in regular users.
Do we know they didn't do that in a week. I mean,
yeah.
No, of course not. But BBM's not going to have 300 million users on Android and iOS. No,
certainly not. But at the same time, I don't think we can dismiss it. And that's you know, what you're seeing in the comments is, you know, why do you guys care about this? Nobody's using it. Well, yeah, people are using it. It's still a really big deal to a lot of people. And it's, you know, outside the U.S. especially, I keep thinking back to when Kevin went to Indonesia, to the BB Jam in Indonesia 2 years ago, last year. You know, it's a big deal for a lot of people in communication, but just not us, especially Android users who are used to, you know, being able to talk to everybody everywhere, whenever. It's, you know, the app itself is kind of crappy. It's just not great. It feels weird, you know, and I don't get it. And that's what I was asking the Crackberry guys. It's like, explain to me why I need this, because I just do not get it. I do not understand.
You got me. I don't understand it either. I wasn't an old BB, you know, BBM user in the past either. So I think there is, you know, there's that contingent of BlackBerry users that made the switch over to Android, and they still know their PIN and all that, and they just want to go back to it. Maybe some for nostalgia reasons, but or just familiarity. Although I guess it's not that familiar to anybody who used it back then either.
Right.
Well, but they also have BBM has the social layer stuff now, but they've got kind of like the chat room style communication thing, and that's something that, you know, nobody else is really touching on. And while that's certainly not a need, you know, I can certainly see groups of people, you know, wanting to participate in that kind of thing. I mean, you look at Google Plus and how communities are broken down. That's just kind of a real time version of that same concept. So it could be that, you know, things like that end up being useful, but as just a person-to-person communication method, I tried using it. It didn't really add anything for me. And the chat rooms, I didn't see any that, you know, I wanted to dive in and stay in, so I uninstalled it.
So where do you guys see things going? I mean, it's pretty obvious at this point Hangouts is going to get some sort of revamp or new features or whatever, and I have a feeling maybe that's what was leading to some of the sync outages this week, just anecdotally. I have no proof to that, but do you think we're going to actually properly, and they've already announced, you know, the API changes that are coming for SMS, and do you think Hangouts is finally going to almost become that one messaging client? Because the other thing we've been talking about internally all week is that no one messaging system fixes it yet, because Hangouts is still siloed with Hangouts, and especially now that Google killed proper Jabber support. And, you know, Skype is great, but the clients all kind of suck. iMessage is really great, but it's Apple only. Even though it pulls everything else in nicely, it's still iOS and OS X only. And I just want something to do it right. And everybody's kind of so close, but nobody really ties it all together.
I mean, I think that the inclusion of these new SMS APIs in 4.4, once that gets propagated on down, you could see more people getting introduced to Hangouts simply because it's going to handle SMS as well, and they don't have to have two different clients. But, I mean, we saw this. Google Talk has been around for a long, long time, and it doesn't have, you know, it has a lot of users, but the general user is still using SMS, especially in Western markets, that is still using SMS, and it's like, you know, is Hangouts really going to, you know, all of a sudden have 90% adoption in Android or anything? I don't think that's going to happen.
And don't forget that most people are using skinned Android phones, you know, in air quotes, skinned Android phones. HTC and Samsung aren't going to stop developing their own texting apps. That's just not going to happen.
No, Samsung just announced how many million chat-on users?
Exactly. Yeah, they have
100 million or something.
So, sure, the hardcore Nexus people, probably Motorola as well, will be using Hangouts for SMS, but it's not going to be like Google flipping a switch. Suddenly everyone on Android uses Hangouts for SMS. That's not the way Android works.
And with these new APIs, all it does is make it easier for them to integrate and offer their own SMS apps.
Again, this is all about making it easier for the Google experience to be on any device. We've heard rumors that the launcher is going to be spun out, that the camera app is going to be spun out. Wouldn't surprise me if either of those were the case. And Hangouts is just part of that. You know, Google slowly gaining more control over their ecosystem on Android. And for users that want to have that Google experience on their S4 or whatever, then it's easy for them to do that.
My wife uses an iPhone. She has a Mac. She has an iPad. So the kids are around her half the time. Why do I feel more comfortable using FaceTime with her than Hangouts? And I don't have an answer to that. Am I just doing it wrong? There's something about it, because I know she's on all that stuff that's like, okay, I'm going to use FaceTime to call my wife and say hey to the kids.
FaceTime is just better integrated, right? I mean, you pull up in the dialer or the contacts and you can hit FaceTime call and it's there, right? You don't have to launch Hangouts separately or anything like that to do it. Even, you know, for cross-platform support, obviously, it kind of has to be broken out into another app. But when you can just pick up the phone and hit Hangouts and switch between them, it's a little smoother.
Yep.
We got another question in the Q&A. Glenn wants to know, and I guess this is probably more for Alex. With text messaging and voice calls coming to Hangouts, probably, maybe. Does anyone see Google Voice making it over to the UK and maybe even the rest of Europe? No pressure, but you're only speaking for
an entire continent. Is the short version. One version is. I think the way Google Voice actually works in the US is through some peculiarity of the way the US phone system works.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't apply to Europe and the UK. Potentially, there wouldn't be anything stopping them introducing Google Voice as essentially a voice over IP type thing in the UK. So you would have a phone number and then you'd pay for calling credit or whatever, similar to what Skype does now. It could happen, but when it arrives, if it does arrive, it's not going to look anything like Google Voice in the US right now.
Yeah, and the way that Google Voice operates, I mean, I don't have an intense knowledge of how it works, but it's basically doing a forwarding system through the regular phone system. It's not ever using voice VoIP unless you're calling through your desktop. So they would kind of have to make a jump to using VoIP to get international stuff going. Otherwise, Google would be paying on its own end for all these forwarding numbers and international calls, and I don't think that they're going to bother doing that.
Well, but they did on the iPhone. You can do data-only calls through Hangouts,
right. And you can actually do VoIP
calls,
yeah.
Which was kind of an interesting set aside. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
with the way they're doing it now, though.
Yeah, it's definitely weird how it works here in the U.S. It's not definitely not straightforward.
Yeah, it'll...
Those iOS apps that Google does have gotten really good. I finally started playing around with iOS a little more the past week just to get a better feel for it. And it's still a totally different... Did we talk about this last week, Alex? I don't remember. We might
have. I remember you mentioning it. I don't know if it was last week.
Yeah, I'm not jumping ship anytime soon, but the apps themselves are really good. The way iOS handles accounts is like it's like going back to the dark ages.
Yep.
Once you use Android for that, I don't know how you could use anything else. Will wants to know: do you think the rumored Hangouts update will come before 4 or by itself? Well, I mean, technically, it's by its. I don't know. I mean, sure.
It'll be by what? It's Hangouts. It'll be by itself. There'll be some features probably that'll only work in 4.4.
Yeah.
Perhaps right. Maybe or maybe it'll work differently in 4.4.
The new API stuff isn't going to be there. Some new version, new APK version that has a different look or improved features may work. But if they're going to do crazy backend stuff with VoIP and the new SMS APIs, that's going to need a new version of Android to work.
Right.
Do you want to talk a little bit about this Nexus 4 Bluetooth thing that popped up today?
Yeah, you and Russell were actually talking about that earlier today, right?
So popped up at the Bluetooth SIG today, special interest group, the Nexus 4 once again. The way it works is whenever you change the way your device interacts with Bluetooth, the profiles that it uses, it needs to go through that and be certified again by the group that handles Bluetooth. That happened when the Nexus 4 got Bluetooth 4 support, Bluetooth Low Energy, in the summer. Now it's passed through there again with some new Bluetooth profiles. And the thing people are freaking out about isn't really to do with Bluetooth, but it's to do with the fact that it's referred to as an LTE phone, whereas before it was referred to as a 3G phone. And I don't know, I think people are maybe reading too much into this. There are a few things that don't make a whole lot of sense to me about that. And the first is that just it's essentially an end-of-life device now, the Nexus 4. If they were going to switch this on, why would they wait until a year after release? It could happen. If they wanted to, they could make it happen. But we've still seen nothing pass through the FCC. That's the body that would need to okay it, and there's nothing there, which means you can't do LTE legally on it yet. That may change in the next week or so, but until that happens, we'll have to wait and see. So that's my opinion of that. The more interesting thing has to do with the two of the new Bluetooth profiles that are supported in this new firmware that is supposedly running on the Nexus 4 that's been certified. One of them has to do with transferring incoming phone calls to some kind of third device or a secondary device that's connected over Bluetooth, and another one that's similar for messages. So the suggestion there is that the example that's used on the Bluetooth site is all about transferring that to some kind of hands-free system. But you could imagine it would be just as easy to do that on some kind of wearable device, and you would do that in exactly the same way if it was connected over Bluetooth. So, yeah, that's kind of indicative of maybe a bit more focus on wearables in 4.4, perhaps. And that, to me, is the interesting thing about this, not the fact that it says LTE instead of 3G.
I agreed with everything Alex just said. it's definitely, the having LTE there, I feel like they have to put that there.
Because technically it's always been an LTE device because of that dormant,
right? Just
not legacy, but superfluous LTE stuff that was in there on the board anyway, right?
But I think people are freaking out because it said 3G on the two previous ones, and it says LTE now. I mean, that could just be someone ticking the wrong box.
I don't think that it's particularly indicative of anything. I mean, it's there, and that could certainly be something interesting. But I agree with Alex that the more interesting thing is that there are now two new protocols that are all about transmitting specific kinds of data. And the only reason that you use those protocols is if you have you know, some kind of wearable thing set up. And those protocols are not being used by Glass, because Glass has its own app for that kind of for that data transmission, for like your contacts and stuff like that. You already get that information from the My Glass app, so it has to be for something else. Mm-hmm. And it may be for a dedicated device, or it may just be you know, Google, you know, doing better things with Bluetooth in order to support more devices. But it should definitely be interesting.
I'm going to totally screw this name up. Rouslin, maybe? Rosslin? Says, do you guys think a lot of the Moto X features will show up on the Nexus 5 or the next generation OS? I'm thinking trusted Bluetooth devices. I hope. I really hope.
Yeah.
Probably, maybe the touchless control, I hope. That'd be cool.
Well, so the Snapdragon 800 has hardware support for that kind of technology. Right. It has the wireless control, so it's possible.
And we were hearing rumors a while back of that being tied into the launcher, weren't we? So not when the phone's turned off, but when you're at the launcher, you can voice activate the Google Now stuff. I think that was one of the rumors about the this new launcher, supposedly.
Seems like an odd thing to be baked into AOSP, though, right? I mean, that would be, you could see that in Nexus, but not necessarily. Mm.
Yeah. Right, because not all.
Yeah.
You see some other phone come out that has a S4 Pro in it or something. It's not going to work properly with that touchless stuff and save the battery, so.
Yep.
Cool. That's a lot of Nexus talk for us not knowing anything.
That's what we do, talk about things we don't know about.
Some guy named Shin Yi asks, do you think the Play Editions will get 4.4 sooner than they did with 4.3 compared to the Nexus Editions?
I think Shin's a punk for asking questions that he knows the answer to. But.
I think the Google Play Editions got it pretty damn quick, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It was like 9 days, wasn't it, last time?
And, you know, it's worth repeating again, although I know we did it last week, just how quickly HTC got 4.3 out on the one. I guess good transition. You know, we're expecting 4.3 on a boatload of Samsung devices, you know, in the next, 6 weeks, basically. A whole bunch of people, including Russell, I guess, got a leak from when we can start to expect this stuff. Now, it's all subject to change, right, as these types of roadmaps usually are. But it's going to be 4.3, and it's going to be Galaxy Gear integration for a whole bunch of Samsung devices, kind of the usual suspects, right?
Yeah, all the famous popular ones, the S3, the S4, S4 Active, and Note 2, and all really before Christmas. I mean, like December 24th is the last one for the S4 Active, which is interesting. I didn't think a ton of people had even bought that phone, but they're supporting it.
I was thinking about it the other day.
I think AT&T pushed that phone for a long time.
It is a really good phone. I like that better than I liked, I think, the original S4. Just because when I'm in a pool with my kids, and I remember the one time I was in a pool with my kids with the S4 Active, it's like, that was fun. Not something I would normally do, but it was cool. I liked it. My question is, when are we going to get more functionality in this paperweight of a watch itself? Because, I mean, it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing, right? I mean, you got to get it onto more devices. I'm starting to come around. I know I panned it a decent amount for, you know, being Samsung only, but I think I've come around on that. I'm not sure I can really fault them for that because it's Samsung's product and it's a whole bunch of devices. And like you said, you know, don't really have a much of a choice on that. So I think maybe I was wrong in panning them, you know, quite that hard, but this thing still has to do more. It can't just show me an icon of Gmail and tell me to go to the phone.
I think that in order to be Samsung specific, they need to offer me more than also being Samsung software specific on top of that. It's needs to give me a little something.
There's no excuse for that, really. When you have notification listeners in 4.3 and when you have accessibility stuff that you can scoop out other content from that runs, you know, like the stuff that you get on the Pebble.
I wonder if they just ran out of time and that's entirely possible what happens. But yeah.
I haven't heard a ton about them reaching out to third-party developers, which was something that I thought was the most concerning about this. All of the other smartwatch guys, Pebble, MetaWatch, the even the Omate guys, they are really active on social networks looking for developers to work on stuff that's specific for their device. And I mean, Pebble, you know, for all of its shortcomings, there is a ton of third-party stuff for the Pebble as a result of how much work they've done there. And it doesn't feel like Samsung's done any of that.
Well, we do have the Samsung Developer Conference next week in San Francisco. And since you mentioned that, we apparently are the official. We are the official community partner for the Samsung Developers Conference. So we will be there. Andrew and I will both be there. We are streaming the keynote live on Monday, and then we're doing 3 hours of live coverage beyond that. So we're going to do a podcast live Monday, and another 3 hours on Tuesday. So I have no idea what's coming up. I assume we're going to get a lot of Galaxy Gear talk. I hope we get some, you know, serious SDK action coming with that. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting.
Samsung's got a lot of stuff that it wants to cover, not just in phones, but tablets, you know, gaming, their Android stuff on TVs, this Home Sync thing. They've got a lot of stuff to cover, and hopefully, you know, like you said, the SDK is going to start coming out so other people can work with it too.
Yep. Other than that, I mean, we're not expecting like some weird Google Glass type thing, are we?
Galaxy S5.
Oh, God.
You heard it here.
Galaxy Gear Face.
Yeah.
Have you seen the... there are already stories saying that the Galaxy S5 is going to be announced at CES. Like, it's like clockwork every year. Somebody gets
bored. Because of dwindling sales numbers.
Which makes no sense. Which... Why would you release a new one if the current one's not that? No, no.
Which, by the way, they just announced 40 million.
Yeah, 40 million is not
Galaxy S4 is sold in, you know, 5 months or whatever. It's like, come on, people.
That's just sad. They should just go ahead and quit. I mean,
but there should be some kind of Vegas themed penalty for anyone that writes that story if it isn't actually announced.
Yeah, you have to come back next year.
Oh. And I don't know. It's just, I don't see how anybody can say that they're not selling well when you look at the, you know, the sales numbers they release and just their quarterly earnings and everything. Yeah. It's just their mobile segments, you know, for a company of that size to grow their mobile segment at like 10 or 15% a quarter is, you know, how can anybody say that they need to rush something out?
Yeah.
And we get these rumors every year, and no doubt this time, in a few months' time, there'll be stories about it having an unbreakable chassis and an unbreakable screen, and it'll be made out of liquid metal or something, and eventually it'll quiet down, it'll be another plastic phone, and the cycle will start all over again.
Same thing every year. Let's go to another question. Lisa asks, the Nexus line was recently called irrelevant by an Android blog. How do you feel about that, and the Nexus line being for developers versus the general public? Well, first of all, let me talk about these damn Android blogs. No, I mean, it's a valid question, and again, it's kind of one that gets asked every year. So, we never really got a good handle on what Nexus was supposed to be, right? And it kind of seemed like it changed every year, depending on who you talk to.
A little bit. The thing that I think was rolled out either at this I.O. or last I.O. was that Nexus means the best of Google. It's not a developer thing anymore. It's mainstream. It's Google's vision of what Android should be. And if you look at what's happening with the Nexus 7 and what we all hear and assume is going to be happening with the 5 and the 10 going into Best Buy stores, then that's surely going to be just another step beyond that. And it's going to be, they're going to be looking to make it more relevant, not just by selling it themselves, but by getting into retail stores.
Yeah, I don't think that, I mean, if you look at something like the original Nexus 7 being on sale at Staples for $199, that doesn't mean that they're targeting a developer audience with that. And if you look back in time at what the development targets actually were, they were the Nexus S for the longest time, even while the Galaxy Nexus was out. The Nexus 10 is a development target because of the high resolution. You can look at all different kinds of screen resolutions within that. It's, you know, and especially if these rumors of, you know, Best Buy launches and, you know, big pushes in Google Play are coming to be true, it's not just for developers. And, you know, you could argue if it ever was just for developers, but it's definitely not now.
Russell, what does Nexus mean to you?
I don't think it's been a developer concept even since the Nexus S. I think it's been about Google trying to you know, create what they feel is the correct experience for this operating system. And what we're seeing more of now is, you know, them kind of sidestepping these other manufacturers by releasing apps that you can install, you know, and take any phone and kind of create a similar experience. So I don't think that the Nexus line is going away anytime soon. I certainly don't think that the Nexus line is irrelevant. I think that this last jump with the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 7, what we saw was Google trying really hard to get those devices in as many hands as possible, which they did by, you know, price and availability and, you know, not, you know, sticking them to carrier chains. And so I think that we'll see more of that this coming year, but it certainly isn't irrelevant. Those Android blogs, let me tell you.
John writes, do you think there will be a carrier-subsidized Nexus 5 on U.S. carriers? God, I hope not.
I mean, define carrier-subsidized, right? I mean, T-Mobile technically subsidized the Nexus 4 by buying them and then having them more expensive and then subsidizing them. But, I mean, when it's available unlocked for it, you know, the leaks indicate $349, it's like, you really want the retail bumped up to $600 and then reduced back down to $200 on contract from AT&T?
Nothing ruins a Nexus phone like a U.S. carrier, right?
Or any carrier, probably, for that matter.
That is a true story.
I mean, given the track record, I wouldn't be surprised to see it in T-Mo stores, whether it's sold at the SIM-free price or whether it's subsidized maybe down to $200 or something.
It would be a very carrier thing of them to do.
It would be, yeah. So there's that.
And so T-Mobile is also where they're carrying the Nexus 7 on a financing plan. So if you're looking for a little bit of a precedent there in 2013, anyways.
Yeah.
God, more Nexus talk. How did we get on that? I want to talk about Plants vs. Zombies for like the next 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's all I've done for the past 24 hours is play that. I'd forgotten how good it was. I'd forgotten how, you know, I played the first one for a while, and I've been playing this one, and it's, like, it's better. It's keeping me engaged, and probably more important is that it's not killing me with in-app purchases, because I was also thinking about how much money I've spent on Asphalt in the past month. It's insane. I feel bad about myself. I feel like a Candy Crush addict with as much money as I've spent on Asphalt, and I still need more cars. So, I mean, Russell, you're playing it. You like it?
I'm definitely a fan. Yeah. So far, it's been it's a little campy with the whole traveling through time thing, you know. But it's the whole point of this game is to be silly. So it's been a lot of fun. The new finger gestures for when you really just get stuck and you can just swipe people out of the way or pinch their heads off and stuff. That has been incredible. For times where, like, you know, in the last game, I would get stuck like that, and I would just, you know, say screw it and throw my tablet down and then restart the level in a couple of minutes, whereas that kind of comes through. And I am reaching a point where if I keep relying on that, I think I'm going to have to spend some money.
Oh, God, Jerry's asking questions. That's what happens when we give him the day off. Will the Nexus 5 melt if I hold it too close to the Moto X? There's so much goodness flowing out of it. It surely can't be safe for other phones. You're not safe for other phones, Hildenbrand. Man, I'm digging these new Q&As. I mean, that's come a long way in like a month.
Yeah,
right?
It works really well.
It seems like it's slightly different every time we do it.
I know it is. We got to relearn it. It's assuming we remember to use it. All right, here's an interesting one from Alan. Can you guys explain the Google phone embargo? I have no idea what you're talking about at all. If there were an embargo, and if I were under it...
I know what this is.
What's that?
I actually know what this is.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
This is a remnant of the whole Google event thing from yesterday. So this is actually from Reddit. This is a whole group of people who said that this event, that I blew an embargo, and there was a whole bunch of people who were coming to New York to grab the phone before it was announced so that we could do reviews and stuff. And I can't stress this enough. That is not how this works. It sounds an awful lot like how this works, but that is not how this works.
We need to do a podcast sometime where we just explain all this inside baseball and how things work and how it really comes down to half the time we don't know till we get there.
So you're telling me that on a week's notice, having dozens of people fly to New York isn't more efficient than using FedEx?
Right.
Hey, look, no, I mean, the very first Google event I went to, I think the invites went out on a Friday and I flew there on Tuesday, right? So, I mean, that's happened before. I think the bottom line for events, when you start thinking about events, is don't think back to what happened last year or 6 months ago, because they can do whatever the hell they want, and they do. And it's not just Google, it's everybody. So sometimes you get phones at launch events, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're under embargo, sometimes you're not. I mean, I'm not going to talk about any embargoes we're under, because you just don't. But, you know, that I've said that, I think pretty much means right now that I'm not under embargo for anything. So
I think Andrew and I talked about this recently too, when we were at the barbecue. We kind of had to be like, so this is how this works in the reality.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I mean, it's different every time, and you know, do the best you can. It's a crazy business.
Who knows? Richard could be going back to Abu Dhabi, maybe.
Gee, I was half, if Andrew's talking about the Windows Phone, the Nokia event in Abu Dhabi this past week. And it's like, I was half jealous because it looked awesome. And the rest of me is just like, oh, I'm at home, man. That's awesome too. I'm glad to be here. Oh.
Yeah, I think Richard was complaining all week about the heat when he was there. And then he gets back to the UK and he's just complaining about the cold now. So.
Yeah, I know, right? Looking through these questions. What else? So, yeah, I mean, Plants vs. Zombies. Awesome. Digging it. Call of Duty Strike Team for you. Call of Duty folks, cool. $7.
Oh, and Dead Trigger 2.
Dead Trigger 2. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. God, I feel like I've been playing that since, or at least I've seen demos, I think, all the way back from the original Shield announcement in January, and maybe.
Graphics on that look really nice on the Nexus 7. You go into the settings, and the graphics are turned way down by default. So flip the switch to put it on the highest, and it looks really good.
It's a really cool game. I need to pull it up on the Shield.
The people from NVIDIA are hilarious when it comes to this game.
Yes.
The last time I saw them, they were just like, so please don't let anybody touch the ports on this thing to try and grab the APK off of it. I was like, is that really a thing that happens? Like, well, there's this threat on XDA. And I went, well, here's your first problem.
Just put tape over it. It'll be okay. Nothing to see here. Andrew, you want to talk about this T-Mobile stuff? You started tethering off a prepaid SIM, right?
Yeah, and it's always been kind of weird with T-Mobile prepaid. If you guys haven't used it recently, they redirect your browser when you're tethering sometimes to say you need to pay us $15 a month to tether.
Right.
And you know, that's not a very uncarrier thing to do, and they're not doing it on their postpaid plans anymore, but We have confirmation from T-Mobile now as well that they're doing this. They're giving free tethering away on their prepaid plans. So you're getting 2.5 gigs of on your unlimited plan. You still only get 2.5 gigs of tethering, but you won't get redirected anymore. If you have a T-Mobile branded handset, you don't have to use different apps or root or anything like that. You can just turn it on and not have to worry about it, which is really cool. And they're also throwing in domestic data roaming, although it's only 50 megabytes a month of domestic roaming. You used to have 0 megabytes per month, so it's kind of hard to argue with that.
Cool. I'm going to have to try my SIM. I wonder if my full account will finally work. I mean, it should after the tablet announcements this week, right?
Yeah, and you know, the announcement of 200 megabytes a month for free on tablets is amazing as well, along with financing plans for a couple different tablets. They're throwing the data around a little bit more, and we're happy.
The one thing I didn't quite get, though, was it was 200 megabytes free a month for non-customers, but you still have to have a SIM card, right?
They're essentially giving data away, aren't they?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I think...
There's a tablet, any tablet, as far as I understand it.
You can bring your own tablet, too. You can bring your own Nexus 7 or whatever, but I'm not sure how that plans out, you know, if you already have a family plan or, like, what... Because they don't do shared data. They make you pay per device for another data bucket, so presumably you just ask for them for a SIM and say, put me on this, and it cuts you off at 200 megs. But they're also offering those day passes and week passes, which is similar to what AT&T is now offering too. It's all about getting people to, you know, have that option, and then they buy a day pass for $5, and then all of a sudden they're a $30 a month recurring customer.
And they will have done the math to realize that 200 megs isn't a huge amount of data to make a big impact on the network, but it's just enough to get people started and get them introduced to it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm just all about the Q&A, because this is actually going really well today, so let's just keep doing it. Well, it's sort of going well. Mike writes, any more rumors for the ETA for Muddlemaker coming to Verizon? I've heard it was a 90-day exclusivity for AT&T. Which would be up.
I think we wrote something up. Yeah, we wrote something up a few days back that was the 11th of November.
Yeah.
Rumored, so who knows? Probably around then.
Not soon enough. Put it that way.
But it would certainly explain why they knocked the price off of the Muddlemaker for AT&T. Get that last sprint of people.
I had my kid in the store the other day with me, and my 7-year-old, and she was designing her own right there, and she loved it. She loved the idea of doing that. Nice little fun way to do it.
I just want the wood one.
What else? I don't know. Hey, by the way, we didn't mention all these BBM reviews.
Oh.
And they all said the same thing, and it was horrible, and I'm not even going to read what they were. Jerry had a really good idea, though. So BBM groups are a thing, and they're almost like private chat rooms. Then think of them like that. Well, not chat rooms, but you send something to the group, everybody sees it. But these aren't advertised anywhere, so you got to be a part of them. And Jerry was thinking there's probably some BBM group in Indonesia that just came up with, hey, here's what we're going to leave in our review, and just a huge-ass group did it.
You buy that? Oh, yeah.
That's certainly
possible.
That sounds more plausible to me than I think.
I don't think BlackBerry's stupid enough to AstroTurf in that way themselves.
Especially, and here's why I brought it up. Because Samsung just got fined like $300,000+ for AstroTurfing a bunch of reviews against HTC. What a slap on the wrist that was.
Yeah, they probably spend more on coffee for the executive team in a month.
Yeah. I don't know what you should be fined for something like that. But
we're going to have to take the backup private jet next week.
Yeah.
Can't take the regular one.
We're only going to fly 500 miles an hour and not 560, guys. Sorry. Right. You hate to see that sort of thing happen just on principle. But I don't know.
Yeah, and they did find it was through some kind of external marketing agency that happened.
And I get that.
It wasn't Samsung on high saying, you were right. False reviews or false comments or whatever. That's not quite the way it works, and that's never how these things work.
Here's another Moto X question. Why not? Early reviews ding the Moto X for being a mid-range phone at a high-end price. Android Central didn't say that, yet you guys didn't like its display camera. Have you guys changed your mind on the Moto X, especially with the camera update? I never had a problem with the display. And I was surprised by that, actually. It's not the best display, but especially that it's 720, that it's totally usable. I have not once used this phone and thought, I really want a 1080 display on it. The camera is better with the update. It's still not great. I'm still hit and miss with it. Really depends on what's moving, how dark it is. Russell, how are you doing with it?
The camera update, I fired it up on the AT&T one because I actually had the Verizon one for the review. And something to keep in mind for everyone who was reading the very, very first batch of reviews that came out, we all got pre-production models.
Yep.
And one of the first things that Phil and I think both noticed when we got the Motomaker version was that the display on the review unit was really warm. The color temperature was crazy warm, and it was a lot better on the Motomaker version. So, a lot of people dinged it, I think, for being a mid-range phone because of the display. But when you compared the display to what was out at the time, which was the HTC One and the Galaxy S4, it wasn't even so much the image quality. It's just that the color temperature was way off.
Yep.
So I think that had a lot to do with it.
I agree.
But no, I love the Moto X. It's my go-to phone still.
I'm going to have a hard time getting off it. And every time I pick up the G2... I'm like, damn, this is a pretty good phone. Why am I not carrying this around? And even when I go back to the HTC One, that's still a really good phone. Especially now that they're finally getting 4.3 on it here in the States. So
yeah, we got Sense 5.5 this week for the European model.
Son of a... Xin Yi, our pal Xin Yi. has asked another question. I'm not even going to put it up on the screen. So yeah,
Really?
Alex, you've got 5.5 officially. I've got 5.5 on the HTC One Max here. I mean, how are you? Are you liking it? Is it good?
I'm liking it. I always said that I wanted the software from the Max on the regular one because there's a lot of nice stuff in there. But Blinkfeed is just a ton more usable on 5.5. You can plug a bunch of different stuff into it. Google Plus support, searching, you know, custom searches that you can pin to the side, RSS, importantly. And the new gallery app is pretty cool, too. A lot of different ways you can customize the little video highlight things. Not a ton of new stuff, but two very big important things for Sense. So I like it.
It's not perfect. You and I were, in fact, that reminds me, we got more stuff we need to write on it. You know, like adding RSS feeds is still really clunky. Somebody had asked if you can use it as a podcatcher, and you can't really. Certainly not as well as something like Pocket Cast. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely better. It still has room to grow. And I'm still pleasantly surprised at how much people like it now, especially after when it was first announced. I'm never going to use it. I can't get rid of it. I hate it. And now it's like, hey, it's pretty cool. I like it. Thanks, HTC.
Yeah, the statistic they gave was that 70% of people are using it, which, I mean, there are a couple of different ways to look at that. Either 30% of people aren't using it. But I think considering people generally don't customize their phones, you know, civilian users, if you like, that's not a bad statistic.
The only thing that I didn't really, that was a kind of a downside for Blinkfeed for me, got fixed in 5.5, which was the ability to see Google Plus posts.
Right.
I mean, I had Facebook and I had Twitter, and thumbing through those was great. But now with 5.5, it does Google Plus posts as well. So, I mean, that alone, if it does nothing but social stuff for me, would be worth it.
How are you handling, because it sucks in groups or communities, and you can't squelch them, and that has almost rendered it unusable for me.
Yeah, I just unsubscribe from the community.
I was going to say, I solved that really well. I didn't join any communities.
I don't have that luxury. It's what we were talking about last week. We've got that monstrous Android community that we started, and I feel bad about it because
it has kind of gone beyond the scope of our control.
It has grown beyond our control. I can't stop it. I can only hope to contain it. I don't know. All right, here's a good one. The Pebble smartwatch is coming soon to Canada in retail stores, Best Buy and Future Shop. What do you think of the Pebble so far, and is it worth getting right now?
Ask me again in a week.
Yeah? Why?
Yeah. Because we're going to have another watch in a week.
Oh, maybe. You're putting money on a Nexus watch, huh?
I don't know how to put money on it. Yeah. I think it's likely.
I don't know. I like the Pebble. I'm still wearing it every day.
Yep.
I'm digging it. What are you using, Russell?
When I do wear a watch, which is not often because I prefer using glass, the MetaWatch, actually. It's a little more tinkery, kind of developer-focused. Mm-hmm. It never really got totally polished for consumers. And it doesn't have all of the really cool wallpapery things that Pebble has. But a lot of the base kind of notification receptacle features are exactly the same. Although I will say that the Star Trek pad interface thing that showed up for MetaWatch, or for Pebble, rather, made me super jealous. I almost went and bought one like that day.
I'm going to have to load that up and try it.
Yeah, I've been using the Pebble for a little over a week or a couple weeks now, and I like it. It's more comfortable than the Gear, so I've had no problems just wearing it all the time, and I just use it to check the weather and check notifications, and it for those needs. Oh, and the time, from every once in a while I check the time on it. It's useful for that, and it doesn't complain about doing anything else, and it lasts 5, 6, 7 days on a charge.
Yep.
Here's a good one.
I'm Google now on my wrist, though. That's the thing. There's no watch that lets me do that yet.
Why do you think most people rank the Galaxy S4 and HTC One over the LG G2? Do you think the Optimus UI is worse than Sense and TouchWiz?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I'd argue with that one.
I think the phone's really, I mean, we've said this forever. Like, LG can make quality hardware. We just didn't get a lot of it in the States for a long time. That goes back to when I had the Optimus Z here for a while. Or the Optimus Black, which was
the tiny, tiny Optimus Black,
even more awesome. We just didn't
still have an Optimus 3D somewhere.
Yeah, Well, let's not talk about 3D.
Alex has an Optimus View.
3D was a dark period in the age of smartphones. Let's just never speak of that again. No, it's I like LG. I like them as a company. I like their hardware. I think the software still has some work to do. It's weird. We talk about these companies having personalities, and it kind of fits their personality to me.
Definitely.
And especially after you meet them, and you know, great people, really nice people, really good hardware. I mean, and the hardware's come a long way. Try it. If you like it, use it.
And there is a way to trim it down, all of that extraneous stuff, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
It comes with all this stuff turned on, but you can trim it down like the S4 to a certain degree.
It definitely takes a while to get it down to something that you can actually use without having a seizure.
It's a lot more in your face, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite LG phones have always been the ones that I can install CM on. I mean, like, they get so much better. Ever back to the other LG G2, or it was G2X. The G2X was the first one that I really, really liked the hardware on, which was funny because that actually had a lot of defects that I didn't encounter any of. And it was my first LG phone, and then I got the Optimus Black shortly after. It was pretty cool.
I think the G2X is still on Froyo, isn't it, officially?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they pulled the Gingerbread update for that, and then everybody just said, what's that phone? I don't know what you're talking about.
don't worry about that phone. Nothing to see. So many good questions.
Got a couple emails.
Yeah. You got those up?
Yep.
Go for it.
Travis writes, my new Nexus 7 has big red blotches and a few blue ones when the screen is on and it's a black background, and only when it's a black background. Is there a way to fix this, or can I return it to Google?
Return it.
Send it back.
Yeah. That's
and
RMA.
Maybe go to an eye doctor just in case. Just in case. I worry. I care about you guys. They're the only eyes you got.
It's true.
Sean Paul writes, I've always used Lookout for the remote find app and wipe function and considered virus scanning a bonus. Now that Google provides remote locate and wipe through Android Device Manager, I'm considering uninstalling Lookout. But I do use reputable secondary app markets like Amazon and download the Humble Bundle. Is it possible I could get malware from these reputable secondary markets? It's technically possible to get malware anywhere, but remember that Google's also scanning apps. In the background. I wouldn't worry about it.
It's possible, but highly, highly unlikely. We had that write-up from one of Google's security guys a few weeks back. I forget the name of the guy. Basically saying that the stats of people who actually get infected with malware are just really, really insubstantially small. So I think if you're only installing legitimate apps from legitimate sources, you probably have nothing to worry about.
It's funny because it's the exact opposite effect of what happens when we talk about how many people are using BBM. You hear numbers like, 10 million people are using BBM, and you go, well, that's not really a lot. But you hear 5,000 people have gotten a virus from this thing.
Oh, my God. No, and Lookout still, it's a good app, and it's a good company, and they got a lot of good stuff. It's just a lot of it's starting to be duplicated by Google. And that's a good thing. I think these are things that Google should have had for a long time. And I wouldn't worry about downloading from Amazon and Humble Bundle. I don't know what Amazon does with the apps. I don't know how they pull them apart a decent amount. In fact, the last version of our app we sent in, they kick back because
considering how long it takes them to approve updates and things like that, they're doing something.
It takes a number of days to get it, at least when I've submitted to Amazon. It's taken several days for it to go through. No, they kicked back our last one, not because anything was bad with it. It just didn't work in the original Kindle, and I think that was an Android version more than anything. So we said, screw it, and the 20 people who have downloaded our app on a Kindle just are stuck with an old version. But no, they definitely look at them. How deeply, I don't know, but I wouldn't worry about Amazon, I don't think. I think they're most likely doing it right. They better be after I said that. Any more questions we want to do? Anything else you guys want to talk about? I feel like we bounced all over the place.
So, quick straw poll.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll have the Nexus 5 by this time next week?
No.
Haven't this time have an announcement. I think we might have an announcement.
Hmm.
We might have to. I don't know. I'm gonna say yes. Why not?
Google
yes,
may
we
have
will.
Said something official.
What's that?
Yeah, I think that we'll have some kind of a pre-order date, an order date, but it might not actually be able to hit buy now.
Yeah, I think we will know something official from Google. Whatever that something is, maybe it's a announcement date. Maybe you know Phil's gotten an email saying show up at this location with a brown paper bag.
Tell no
one. Something will have happened from Google next week, I think.
And just so everyone knows, the brown paper bag thing is exactly how device embargoes work.
I've ruined everything.
I'm totally going to start showing up at events now with like a briefcase and a
and a handler.
You know, where I'm going to put a suit on and dark glasses, and I would get kicked out so quickly for doing that.
I think HTC already showed off how that works with Robert Downey Jr., right?
Actually, the when I was in London, the guys who showed up with the gold HTC One, it was in like a big hardcore. I mean, it needs to be, right? That's a I forget how many thousands of dollars phone right there. But yeah, they showed up in a big case and it's all padded and everything for the phone. Like, you know, you could beat somebody with that. I mean, they would never speak again. It was a big case. Anything else? Are we done?
I think we're done.
I think
let's
we're
wrap
done.
It up.
All right, if you want to email us, you can do it at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can find all of us on Google Plus, and Russell and I are still on Twitter. What about the rest of these guys?
Alex, I'm on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter.
We're all on Twitter. Just search
our Even Jerry's on Twitter sometimes.
Yeah, don't say that out
loud. Sometimes. If you have a free iPad he wants to win, he'll take that tweet.
Russell, where can we find you when you're not hanging out with us?
Usually I am over at geek.com or on Google Plus. I don't drift too far away from those places. I put my Twitter handle in the lower third because I don't have a plus Russell Holly thing for Google Plus. I don't really know why.
You know, now that you mention it, I don't think these other guys do either.
Yeah, we're just pretenders.
Just pretending.
Mm-hmm. I think the idea was just to like search the names, but yeah, now that you mentioned it. All right. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158 or do that online thing that the kids are all talking about at shopandroid.com. And that's it, I think. Russell, thanks for hanging out with us. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, this was fun.
Let's do it again sometime. Maybe. Maybe not.
Definitely.
Okay, we'll do it again. Everybody in the Q&A, thank you. That was cool. We might just start doing like Q&A podcasts from now on.
Yeah, it worked pretty well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That worked well. All right, and we will catch you, actually see you live from Samsung in San Francisco on Monday, and then we'll probably be back for a regular podcast on Friday. I have a feeling we'll have a lot to talk about. So see you then. Somebody say bye. Anybody?
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
It gets worse every week.